Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Power of Word, share number 86. We're talking about verbal abuse, and to understand how it works is that there are two kinds of power that a person develops in his communication and relationship with one with another person. There's one that could kill the spirit, and there's one that nourishes the spirit. What kills a spirit is going to be called now power over. And the one that nourishes the spirit is called personal power. Power over means it's a reality. We'll call it reality number one, the unhealthy reality of control and dominance. Personal power, reality number two, shows up as mutuality, co-creation, working together. That's a healthy relationship when there's mutuality. That's a way of being with another person that promotes growth in the relationship, the well-being of oneself and of the other person you're with, by means of clear communication, by means of empathetic understanding, the co-creation that shares participation with the life together, reaching your goals together. And we're going to discuss this, Be'ez Hashem, more in detail. Verbal abuse is a personal issue. It's a cultural issue. It's a global issue. It's basically a misuse of power. It's a model that people use in our Western society. This power over, or this reality number one, where we are survival of the fittest. It's controlling the other. And it creates a tremendous amount of misery and suffering. Power over denies the value of life, denies the quality of life. It's about control. It's about dominance. And it's been around, unfortunately, thousands and thousands of years in individual lives and in societies. And we have to work beyond that. And we have to work on completely getting that away from our relationships, bein adam lechaveiro, and certainly bein ish leishtai, between a husband and a wife. We have to get rid of and free ourselves completely of this power over model. We need to hear ourselves. We need to hear the words we speak in the manner in which we speak them. We need to hear the words spoken to us in the manner in which they are spoken to us, you know, in that manner, to understand how we're being spoken to. This awareness will bring us to a realization of how we do or do not dignify ourselves, or respect ourselves, or protect ourselves, or value ourselves, or value life. Verbal abuse, by its nature, undermines and discounts the victim's perceptions. Now, the ones that were victims of verbal abuse, this Patricia Evans interviewed many women in this case, that were victims of verbal abuse, they didn't know, they didn't see themselves as victims. They just didn't, they knew something was wrong. And usually, sometimes, even if they left the relationship, they thought it was for other reasons. The underlying thing was really the verbal abuse, but they didn't even recognize it. In a verbal abusive relationship, the one that is abused learns to tolerate it without realizing it, and they lose their self-esteem without realizing it. They're blamed by their abuser. They become the scapegoat of the abuser, and the partner becomes the victim. And that comes from a power over model, where the other one misuses their power. People do this with children, unfortunately. When you misuse your power over a child, causes extreme pain. When the child becomes an adult, if they didn't work through the hurt and pain of the experience, unfortunately, they may perpetuate that misuse of power into adulthood against their own children or against other people. That's the toxic nature of bad behaviors feeding on bad behaviors. It's not an excuse. It needs to be put to stop regardless. There's personal responsibility, but there's definitely an effect of behaviors on behaviors. Power over model of control is an illusion, of power. They feel that as long as they control the other person, they have power. In reality, no one can truly control another person. That's what we're going to call reality number one. This power over unhealthy model. Then you have something called personal power. Reality number two. Which is another way of experiencing power. There's no winners. There's no losers. There's no dominant people and subordinate people. It doesn't require a power over the other person. It's about mutuality, like we said. It's about co-creation. It's a new way of being and perceiving the world, a coexisting with one another and working with each other. Those are two different realities. In a normal, healthy marriage relationship, they're all in this power, personal power reality number two. They both are there in the mutuality. They may have midos they need to work on. Even if one of them has a somewhat of an anger problem, the other one is, they could both have some selfishness, things they have to work through, but their overall inner psyche is, an idea is that we're in a mutual relationship. We have to work beyond our selfishness. Yes, we have to work on our midos, but we care about what each other thinks and we embrace the other person's world as best as we could. They don't have to be perfect people. They can make mistakes. But there is seeds and potential for a healthy relationship. But if you have an abusive situation where husband and wife, and again, we're talking right now in a context where the male is the abuser and the female is the victim, but it could go the other way around, like we explained in the last year. But we're going to just bring it up in this concept, where the husband is the verbal abuser, and is in this power over world, is in this reality one world, and the wife is in the power, personal power mode, in the reality two mode, two different realities. The abuser's orientation is towards control and towards dominance. The wife's orientation is towards mutuality and co-creation. So they're actually living in separate realities. And that's what we're going to call reality number one, reality number two. Reality number one, personal power over the negative one, dominance and control. And the other one, reality number two, mutuality and creativity, personal power. And if we live in a world that cannot accept that reality number two, that we cannot accept mutuality, then you see how dangerous it is when a person lives in reality number one, when there's pure selfishness and self-centeredness and the need to control. Because then anything goes. And what happens is it's hard to distinguish between these two realities. In reality number two, let's say you have a situation. A husband comes into a room, sits next to the wife, says casually, "Oh, wow, you're so uncooperative." Okay, he's in reality one. He's in power over mode. He feels one up. You know, you're not cooperating. And the wife is confused. Like, why did you say that? You know, she's asking because she's puzzled. You see, she, in her reality is mutuality. She really wants to see, is my husband's statement valid? Does he have a valid point? Because she thinks her husband is in her reality of mutuality. And he must have a reason that he's saying that you're not cooperating. Now the husband's ready to battle for dominance and power over. So he's ready to just bulldoze his way and knock her over. She is open to hear, why am I uncooperative? You said that, I want to understand it. And let's say they own a yard where they have fruit, whatever. This is the example this book is giving. And he picked some of the fruit and she didn't. And so he says with a touch of anger and even a triumph, he says, because you didn't help me pick the fruit. I guess there were fruits to be picked in their backyard or in their field. And you didn't pick it. I did all the picking. And the wife feels she needs to defend herself. Well, I didn't know you were picking it. If you would have told me, I would have helped you. Or at least, you know, you could have asked to offer to help. I would have been happy to help. Well, I was picking it, he says. So he won. He won. He attacked her basic perception of herself. Because he doesn't, he's not aware of her reality. She feels hurt. She feels frustrated. She can't seem to get her husband to understand that she is cooperative. She's confused why he didn't tell her that he wanted her help to pick the fruit. If he would have said that, she would have said, sure, I'll be happy to help. Or would have said, I'm busy and I would love to, whatever, but there would have been a communication. She doesn't realize this whole interaction has nothing to do about that he picked the fruit and she didn't. She doesn't understand her husband's reality at all because he often tells her that he loves her. And to her, love means mutual empowerment, not power over. See, she doesn't understand. And then when if she says later, you know, I feel hurt when you are uncooperative, the husband would discount it. You're making a big thing out of nothing, or, you know, I'm so sorry, you know, sarcastically. And she would have been hurt and confused. Because again, he's in a different reality. If he would see her reality, reality two, a personal power, a healthy mutuality, then the husband would have said, I'm sorry. I guess, you know, I wish you would have known that I was picking the fruits. I wouldn't have to ask you for the help, or I wish I could have would have known so I could ask you to help. And that would be fine. You know, it's okay if the husband is moody and he's a little, you know, in a bad mood. But in a normal situation, if they would both be in the same healthy reality, he would recognize, okay, I was in a bad mood or I wasn't so nice. But I'm sorry. I'm sorry I was irritable. I was upset that I thought you knew I was picking the fruit and you didn't want to help me. Now I realize you weren't aware. Okay, that's a normal interaction, even if it's somewhat unpleasant sometimes because of, again, not working on your emotions, but the relationship is a healthier one because they're in the same zone of mutuality. Just he misunderstood. He thought that she knew that he was picking the fruits alone and she refused to help him. He was wrong, but at least he understood that there's a mutuality there. And once she realized, she told him, I didn't know or whatever, he calmed down. But in this case, if he's in that other reality of control, of power over, that will never be considered. That will never be considered. He's in a totally different reality. And a wife realizing this could really save her in understanding where this is. Power over is stolen power. In that reality, reality one of power over is if you don't have someone to have power over, then you don't have any power at all. They feel very empty without that power. So a husband, in this case, their need to have that power over, the fear, they call it their fear of being smothered, but in reality, they don't like being overpowered. And there's no mutuality. So a husband that's in this reality may have verbal jabs and be oblivious to the way they're stuching the other person. But it's hostile. It's hostile. And he's not going to change unless he wants to. And if the partner, in this case, the wife, confronts his verbal the battering while you're doing it, she asks him to change, he will refuse. I can say anything I want. He may say, yeah, 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 and do what he wants anyway. And there's a point where she needs to realize if he's indeed in this total separate reality, there's nothing heroic about sucking it up and living with it. And again, when we're talking about real verbal abuse, you really have to ask someone on the outside, a mentor, a rav. You know, we're not talking about two people that are flawed that just simply need to work on their midos. That's different. You know, most of the time, Baruch Hashem, that's the case. Even if there's a marriage that's problematic, even if one of them has, like I said, an anger problem and the other one has an immaturity problem, whatever those problems are, that they're not communicating so well now. But if the deep, deep-seated concept behind it is we're a couple, I may be selfish sometimes, but I have to work through it and try to understand the other person, and that's their goal. And they behave that way. They know how to apologize. They know how to improve. They know how to self-correct. then they're living in the same reality. But when one is in reality number one, power over, and the other one is in reality number two, personal power of mutuality, then they'll never be able to see each other's way, and that is where verbal abuse and other abuses are rampant. When one of them, in this case, typically the husband, it could go the other way around, is in this personal power mode, they're always right, they always need to control, there's no mutuality, there's no, like, a two-way relationship, really. They generally are prone to verbal abuse, while the other one, the victim, has that mode of mutuality. They want to understand the other person. They want to have a relationship with the other person. If they did something wrong, they want to learn how to correct it, and they get very confused because they don't really get what the other person's saying, and they feel misunderstood. So we just touched upon it, this concept, and we're going to Be'ezras Hashem be marech on it a little more in the upcoming shiur. Bracha v'atzlacha.